We are going to pick up where we left off. I want to kind of quickly recap where we went last week. We've been studying about the prophets, those men and women, for the most part in the Old Testament, although there were some in the New Testament, that God used specifically to take his message to his people and to some of the surrounding nations of his people. Some of those prophets wrote. They were called the writing prophets. You find them towards the back of your Old Testament. And oftentimes these books are overlooked because their context, the setting in which they were written, is very dense historically. There was a lot of upheaval and turmoil around the writing of these, and so some folks just have a hard time connecting kind of historical context with it. But there are no doubt some messages, some lessons from those prophets that we need to hear today, and that's what we're going through. These past few messages have been more introductory to kind of lay out the landscape of what the prophets were doing. So that's what we're going to finish up with today, and hopefully in the weeks ahead, we can't do all of them, but I've kind of picked out some that we want to look at their message, their ministry. And so let's bow our heads, let's pray, and we're going to jump in here and just talk about the prophets. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, for this gathering. Lord, we are reminded of how blessed we are in this nation, the freedoms that we enjoy, the security that we often take so for granted. And Lord, thank you for, most of all, your great love for us, your creation, Lord. And thank you for sustaining us, for providing, for directing us, and Lord, for forgiveness and our salvation. We thank you for all of your blessings. Please, Lord, help us to recognize our blessings, and Lord, help us to understand our responsibilities in relation to you and to your goodness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the prophets, we said they were messengers that carried a message from God to his people, primarily encouraging faithfulness to God in view of the promises of God, and also the warning of coming judgment for unfaithfulness, for disobedience. And we know this, that the prophets were chosen by God. They didn't just show up and say, hey, I want to be a prophet. There were some who did, but it didn't work out too well for them. But they were chosen by God, and they were required to deliver God's messages accurately. Read that. We read some of those passages. God said, give them these words. And we also recognize that they were usually not listened to. That was the common thing for the prophets, that they would go with a message, and the people that they were to take it to just wouldn't listen. And often, they were not appreciated. In fact, last week we read about Jeremiah, where he delivered a message that God said, go and tell my people this. And what did it say? The people gathered around, and they said, kill them, kill them. And they took them before the leaders of the people. That was Jeremiah. The Old Testament is a story of God's calling the Israelites, his people, with a purpose. And that was to bless the world, to show the nations God's goodness, his salvation. And it began with God's promise to Abraham way back in Genesis chapter 12, where God promised Abraham that he would be the founder of a great nation, a blessing to all the families of the earth, a founder of many nations, and he would receive a possession, the land which his people are on today. And Abraham took God at his word. Abraham trusted God. And how do we know that? Because Abraham left his own homeland and went to the place where God had directed him. And God recognized his faith. And we read that all throughout the Bible. Some 600 years later, God would use Moses to rescue his people from slavery in Egypt. Moses brought them to the very land that God had promised to Abraham. And Moses stood before the people of God with a message, God's instructions about the benefits of obedience and the consequences of disobedience. And that's where I want us to take a look today If you've got your Bibles, we're going to have them bring up on the screen. Exodus chapter 19. I'm not going to read all these passages. I just want to touch on a few. And then we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 29. So let me read these verses, starting Exodus 19. And I'm going to start in verse 1. Exactly 2 months after the Israelites left Egypt, they arrived in the wilderness of Sinai. After breaking camp at Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and set up camp there at the base of Mount Sinai. Then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "Give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on earth, for all the earth belongs to me. And you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel." Verse 7. So Moses returned from the mountain and called together the elders of the people and told them everything the Lord had commanded him. And all the people responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has commanded." So Moses brought the people's answer back to the Lord. And it was a covenant established that God said, "I will take care of this people." But there's an obligation there. We said last week that, you know, in any relationship that's going to work, there are benefits and there are responsibilities. And that's what we see here, God laying out the benefits and what he has done on their behalf. Rescued them from slavery, set them up in a land. And he said, "Here's what you need to be doing." And he gave them the instructions. And we read about that. Well, if you know the story, the people of God halted in their faith. They were to go into the land and possess it, and they didn't. And so they wandered for 40 years. Let's take a look now, 40 years later in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses once again stands before the people of God, and God gives him this message to say to him. Let's take a look at 29 of Deuteronomy. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. This is the foundation for what the prophets had to say. This is the basis of it, and this is why the prophets could come with a message and say, "Hey, look, God has told you what you need to be doing, and there's blessing in it if you do. And there are consequences if you don't." That was the message of the prophets. Let's read now. These are the terms of the covenant of the Lord. The Lord commanded Moses to make with the Israelites when they were in the land of Moab, in addition to the covenant he made with them at Mount Sinai. Moses summoned all the Israelites and said to them, "You have seen with your own eyes everything the Lord did in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to his whole country. All the great tests of strength, the miraculous signs, the amazing wonders, but to this day the Lord has not given you minds that understand, nor eyes that see, nor ears that hear. For 40 years I led you through the wilderness, yet your clothes and sandals did not wear out. You ate no bread and drank no wine or other alcoholic drink, but he gave you food so you would know that he is the Lord your God. When we came here, King Sihon of Heshbon and King Og of Bashan came out to fight against us, but we defeated them. We took their land and gave it to the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh as their grant of land. Therefore, obey the terms of this covenant so that you will prosper in everything you do." You don't want to read on here and go to verse 18 in the same Deuteronomy 29. We read here that Moses brings this message. "I'm making this covenant with you so that no one among you, no man, woman, clan, or tribe, will turn away from the Lord our God to worship these gods of other nations, and so that no root among you bears bitter and poisonous fruit." Once again, he says, you are to remember who delivered you from Egypt, and do not just fall in to worshiping the gods that are worshiped around you. And look at verse 19. This is just an interesting passage. He says, "Those who hear the warnings of this curse should not congratulate themselves, thinking, 'I am safe, even though I am following the desires of my own stubborn heart. This would lead to utter ruin.'" What a message for us today. Look, friends, it's not enough to just say, "I know what God wants." What Moses was saying to those people a long time ago, don't congratulate yourself just because you know what God says. He said, you and I need to be doing it. And we remember what James said in James chapter 1 in verse 22. Don't just listen to God's word, but go ahead and do it. And that's what we're reminded of. That's what those prophets did. So God had adopted these people as his chosen people out of all the people on the earth. And they, out of gratitude and loyalty, had agreed to fulfill their obligation to him. They said, "We will do it." And Moses established the pattern for the prophets of God, reminding the people of their covenant responsibilities, the blessings of obedience, and the consequences of failing to obey. The kingdom of God, the people of God, the kingdom was at its greatest under King David and his son Solomon. In their history, it was a time of incredible expansion, and they were a force to be reckoned with. Solomon ended up bringing many foreign gods and goddesses into the kingdom through his political intermarriages. And so the nation had really fallen into idolatry. And we find out, if you read the history there, that Solomon died and his son took over, and that confederation of tribes split. The 10 tribes in the north, Israel, the northern kingdom, and then Judah, the 2 tribes in the south, and they split. What we read about is that Israel, the northern tribes, had a time of prosperity. And in their prosperity, they forgot about their agreement, their covenant with their God who had delivered them. What you and I read about is a succession of evil kings, idolatry, injustice, oppression of the most vulnerable in society, sexual promiscuity, and even child sacrifice. We're going to read a few of those passages. We wanted to get to them last week, but we were not able to. The southern tribe, Judah, they were more faithful over the course of their history, but they too fell into idolatry and eventually into corruption. As the leaders and the people of Israel and Judah abandoned God and turned to the gods and goddesses surrounding them, God sent prophets to warn them, to tell them, hey, turn to him. The prophets were delivering a wake-up call from God. When the people refused to repent, to change the course, the warnings changed to judgments. You know, and in these judgments, the prophets also spoke about restoration following judgment. So we said last week, the majority of the prophets that you and I read about, the majority of them would be writing between the years about 800 BC to about 400 BC, that time period, which would be the height of the kingdom, the height of those nations' power on down to when they were exiled, run out of their own land. And most of the messages of the prophets relate to 3 very significant events. The first one was leading up to and surrounding Israel's exile, the northern kingdom. They were overrun by the Assyrians. The Assyrians were a very powerful and warlike people. Their treatment of their prisoners, even in history today, people just shake their heads at the type of treatment that they put upon those that they conquered. The northern tribe was overrun and taken into exile by the Assyrians. That was about 722 BC. The prophets Amos, Hosea, Jonah, and Nahum spoke to that time period. And they also spoke to Nineveh. Nineveh was a leading city of the Assyrians. And they also brought God's message to those people. About 130 plus years later, you had the exile in Judah. The southern kingdom was conquered by the Babylonians. And they were taken into exile out of their own country. Again, we asked prayer this morning for the people of Venezuela. 3 million people have been uprooted. And I, when I read that and think about that, imagine packing up, not having work. I've talked with Pedro. He had a guest this week, a friend that ministers all around the world, and he's been down there, and he said that it is just hard to believe what's going on. But the people of God were exiled, overrun, and had to leave under threat of being killed their own lands. The prophets that spoke in that time were Jeremiah, Isaiah, Habakkuk, Joel, Micah, and Zephaniah. And then the third significant event was the return of the people after exile. the one that really is written about most was that exile from Babylon, the southern kingdom, and they came back and rebuilt the temple and rebuilt the walls surrounding Jerusalem. When the Babylonians came in, they devastated the city and devastated the country. If you want to read about the historical context, the books 2 Kings, Ezra, and Nehemiah provide the historical setting for these prophets and the exile. Do you know, think about an exile, to be uprooted from your own land, your own home country devastated by an invading army. It's a death sentence for a nation. Those northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes, Israel, they were dispersed. They believed that they were dispersed into Iraq, Iran, and modern-day Syria. They were sent out, and some of them never returned. Many of them intermarried with the people of those regions, and they lost their identity as God's people over time. In fact, there's a lot of curiosity over the lost 10 tribes. Anybody ever done any reading about the speculation? Where did those 10 tribes go? And did they ever come back? Some no doubt probably did. There's a whole lot of theories, some of them very wild out there about those 10 tribes. The Jewish people today believe that when their Messiah comes, they'll return when Messiah comes, those 10 tribes. And so exile was something that God told his people about, and we're going to take a look at that in just a few minutes. But what was the message of the prophets? As we look at all of the things that they bring to specific historical situations, what was the basis of that message, the prophet's message? The foundation of their message was based on the blessings and the judgments of that covenant. And I want to read here something that I found. The prophets warned the people of future judgment in order that they would take moral responsibility for the present. God wasn't just warning his people, just being a bully. That's not what God's about. What he was saying is, look, you'll be blessed if you pay attention to what you had agreed to, our covenant, and if you fail to, there are going to be consequences. But all of that was intended to draw his people back into obedience, all right? And so that they would take moral responsibility for the present. The foundation of the prophet's message is, hey, people of God, your God's been good to you, and you have an obligation as his people to pay attention to what he is saying. And do you know the contribution of the prophets to Israel's faith was, you know, there was some new information about God. We're going to speak in weeks ahead about messianic prophecy and about some prophetic passages, what God's going to do in the future. But mostly, it was a new challenge to be faithful to what God had already given them. And think about this, friends, in our lives. Most of us know enough to do pretty well with the knowledge we have. It's not a matter of new knowledge. How many of you would say, you know, I know enough about what God wants that I can go and live and try to honor him? It's not a matter of I got to have some new knowledge, but we need to be challenged to remember who God is, what he's done for us, and to be faithful to our relationship with him. And the prophets hammered home the fact that true religion, a life before God, is not just a matter of going through rituals or even just a matter of belief, but also of our behavior, our relation to God. The prophets reminded the people that they were in covenant with God and needed to return to him and their obligations to him. Now, I want to review this just to show you what this is all about. Leviticus chapter 26, okay? Let's take a look at these passages, and Robert will bring them up. We see here another reminder in the writings of God about what God is saying to his people. In chapter 26, I'm going to start in verse 2. It tells them in verse 1, do not make idols and worship these things that you make with your hands. He says, you keep the Sabbath day of rest and show reverence for my sanctuary. But look in verse 3. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you what? The seasonal rains. The land will yield its crops. The trees will produce their fruit. Your threshing season will overlap with grape harvest. I could read on. Look at verse 6. I will give you peace in the land, and you will be able to sleep with no cause for fear. Look at verse 9. I will look favorably upon you, making you fertile and multiplying your people, and I will fulfill my covenant with you. Look now at verse 14. But if you don't, however, if you do not listen to me or obey these commands, if you break my covenant by rejecting my decrees, treating my regulations with contempt, refusing to obey my commands, I will punish you. I will bring sudden terrors upon you. I could read on. But I want you to see something. Let's go to verses 38 and 39, Robert. This is about 600 plus years before the people would be exiled. Moses is telling the people of God, look, your God brought you out of slavery, is ready to bless you in your lives. Pay attention to what he's saying. If you don't, this is what you got to look forward to. And he says here in verses 38 and 39, he says, you will die among the foreign nations and be devoured in the land of your enemies. Those of you who survive will waste away in your enemies' lands because of their sins and the sins of their ancestors. You know what that is? That's exile. And that's exactly what happened to the people of God. It's in our scripture. It's in history. So what happened? What was going on here? And there are three things that I want us to kind of take a look at. First of all, they left off trusting God and ended up worshiping other gods. We're going to take a look at two prophets here who called to God's people some 300 to 400 years apart. First, the prophet Elijah. Let's take a look at 1 Kings chapter 18. I want to read verses 15 through 18. Elijah was called by God to deliver a message, and he spoke to a king by the name of Ahab, who was one in a long line of kings who had turned God's people from worshiping God to worshiping idols. And so we're going to see here the message that Elijah gives. Verse 15, Elijah said, I swear by the Lord Almighty in whose presence I stand that I will present myself to Ahab this very day. Ahab's the king of Israel. So Obadiah went to tell Ahab that Elijah had come, and Ahab went out to meet Elijah. By the way, Ahab had all of the armies behind him. Elijah, at this time, was a lone ranger, wasn't he? Think about standing up to that kind of situation. When Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, so is it really you, you troublemaker of Israel? And Elijah answers, I have made no trouble for Israel. Elijah replied, you and your family are the troublemakers, for you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshipped the images of Baal instead. Let's go now to Jeremiah chapter 7. This is years later. The people of God are still struggling with this thing of worshiping the gods and goddesses of the surrounding nations. Let me read in verse 30, Jeremiah chapter 7. The people of Judah have sinned before my very eyes, says the Lord. They have set up their abominable idols right in the temple. Imagine that. Imagine in the temple where they were to worship God that bears my name, defiling it. They have built pagan shrines at Topheth, the garbage dump in the valley of Ben-Hinnom. And there they burn their sons and daughters in the fire. I have never commanded such a horrible deed. It never even crossed my mind to command such a thing. So this is Jeremiah delivering a message from God. And that's exactly what the people of God were following. There was a God that was worshipped there called Molech. And a part of that worship was to offer their children as a sacrifice and to be burned. And so I could read another case of it in Ezekiel. We're not going to turn there. Chapter 20. So they left off trusting God, ended up worshiping other gods that took them to where they never imagined they would be. I was reminded of something I heard years ago, and somebody brought it to my attention just this week about sin. Sin will take us farther than we want to go, keep us longer than we want to stay, and cost us more than we want to pay. That's the nature of it, and that's what the people of God had entered into. So they left off trusting God and ended up worshiping other gods. Secondly, they took advantage of one another and failed to provide justice for their own people. I'm not going to turn here, but I want to relate this passage. It's Exodus chapter 23, verses 1 through 9. It is a detailed account that Moses gave to God's people as they were to enter the land. And basically it's this: do not pervert justice because somebody is poor or because somebody is rich, either way. And do not lie when you're called upon to give testimony. This is the directives that were given to God's people and told not to, to turn justice around, to take advantage and mistreat other people, particularly those who were vulnerable in society. Now, I want to look at a couple passages because I think it'll really give us a picture of what the prophets were speaking about. Isaiah chapter 1. I want to read verses 21 through 23. In Isaiah chapter 1, this is God giving a message to Isaiah. See how Jerusalem, once so faithful, has become a prostitute. Once the home of justice and righteousness, she is now filled with murderers. Once like pure silver, you have become like worthless slag. Once so pure, you are now watered down wine. Your leaders are rebels, the companions of thieves. All of them love bribes and demand payoffs, but they refuse to defend the cause of orphans or fight for the rights of widows. That's what was going on. Let's take a look at another passage. Hosea. The prophet Hosea speaks to the people. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 of Hosea. Hear the word of the Lord, O people of Israel. The Lord has brought charges against you, saying there is no faithfulness, no kindness, no knowledge of God in your land. You make vows and break them. You kill and steal and commit adultery. There is violence everywhere, one murder after another. Let's go now to Amos chapter 2. This is a picture of what was going on. I'll just tell you, if you have ever lived in a country where corruption was rife, where you couldn't count on justice, you know what a shaky kind of place that is to live. Many people around the world live in that kind of situation all the time. And so this is what the people of God had descended into. They had said, Lord, we know you delivered us from Egypt. We will do what you've told us to do, and we will organize our nation, our world, according to your wisdom. But they didn't pay any attention to it, and they had descended into this kind of living. Let's take a look at it. Amos chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. I want to read these verses. The people of Israel have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They sell honorable people for silver. They sold their own people into slavery. Poor people for a pair of sandals. Exploitation of the vulnerable in society. Those that had no defense, they were treated like they were a pair of sandals. Let's read on. They trample helpless people in the dust and shove the oppressed out of the way. Both father and son sleep with the same woman, corrupting my holy name. At their religious festivals, they lounge in clothing their debtors put up as security. In Exodus chapter 22, I want to tell you about this because I think it will give you a picture of what was going on, a little bit better picture for us to see. The people of God were told, if you ever have to sell your cloak, your outer garment, in order, because you need some money, the person who loans you the money has to return that cloak to whoever put it up for collateral by nightfall, because for some people in that desert climate, that was their only protection from the elements. So here we read that the people of God had just pushed that away, and those that lent money, well, when it came time to go worship their God, they would wear the very clothes that they had been holding as collateral. What a disregard for what God had said, and a disregard that they would show themselves worshiping God and allow the people who might need that garment to brave the elements. You can see the condition that the prophets were speaking to. That's Amos chapter 2. Let me read on. It says this: in the house of their gods, they drink wine bought with unjust fines. And so they would rip people off, and then when they would worship their gods, they would buy their drinks to celebrate in that. So things had really declined. Let me go to Amos chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 10 through 15 as well. Amos chapter 5. how you hate honest judges, how you despise people who tell the truth. You trample the poor, stealing their grain through taxes and unfair rent. Therefore, though you build beautiful stone houses, you will never live in them. Though you plant lush vineyards, you will never drink wine from them. For I know the vast number of your sins and the depth of your rebellions. You oppress good people by taking bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. So those who are smart keep their mouths shut, for it is an evil time. Those who could see what was going on and they didn't want to get troubled themselves, they just kept quiet about it. That's what the prophets were dealt with, what they were speaking about. You know, we're reminded, somebody asked Jesus, what is the most important commandment? We've got it right there on our board going out in the lobby. What did Jesus say in response to that? You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. And what did he say? And the second is much like it, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. Everything can be pointed to those two. In fact, if you think about the Ten Commandments, they deal with our relationship with God, and they deal with our relationship with one another. So what was going on here? Over a long period of time, God's people had begun to worship the gods and goddesses surrounding them and left off worshiping God. Not only that, the very direction they were given to treat people with justice and to consider the vulnerable in society, the widow, the fatherless, those the poor, those who did not have means to take care, they're not to be trampled. But that's the very thing the people of God were doing. Here's the third thing, and this is what the prophets spoke to, that the people of God began to rely on religious ritualism, substituting it for a living relationship with God. Let's go back once more to Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to see here Isaiah addresses the people. Start in verse 11. This is the message from God to his people. What makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I'm sick of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened cattle. I get no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offering disgusts me. As for your celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath and your special days for fasting, they are all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your new moon celebrations and your annual festivals. They are a burden to me. I cannot stand them. When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. Here's what he says. Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans and fight for the rights of widows. Friends, what we see here is that the people of God had just begun to go through the motions, keeping the traditions of worshiping God, but the very heart of it had been left out. And here's what happened. Though the prophets came, the people refused to repent. And we find that they brought the message, but the people wouldn't hear it. Most did not listen. They were given numerous chances to repent, to change course, but with hardened hearts, leaders and the people continued on in their disobedience. And so what happened? The northern kingdom, and then years later, the southern kingdom, their towns and cities were destroyed, and they were led off into exile, carried away out of their land. And you know, friends, God's not attempting to drive his people away from him. If you read this, what we see is, even in judgment, there is compassion on the part of God. It's all intended to draw his people to himself. I want to turn to one last passage here before we wrap this up today. I want to go back to Leviticus. We were in Leviticus chapter 26. If you remember, we read those verses where the message said, if you'll do this, you'll be blessed. Your fields will be blessed. Your families will be blessed. If you don't do this, this is what you've got to look forward to. And it's not something that you want. But I want to read you at the end of it all. Look at verses 44 45. Here's what God's message says. But despite all this, I will not utterly reject or despise them while they were in exile in the land of their enemies. I will not cancel my covenant with them by wiping them out, for I am the Lord their God. For their sakes, I will remember my ancient covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of all the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. You know what we see in that, friends, is this, that God loves his people. And he's even got a plan for them today. And I don't know how it all works out, but I know that God is faithful to his word. We said last week, and I want to end with this, that past events can be used as lessons for the present if we're paying attention. If you remember last week, there was a quote from a writer and a philosopher from years ago by the name of George Santayana. Here's what he said: those who fail to learn the lessons of history are condemned to what? To repeat them. History does, in fact, repeat itself. And here's the lesson that we should see: falling away from God, from his good purposes, leads to decline and disaster. We've seen it over and over and over again, and it's a warning for us. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, it says, these things should be an example to those of us who are living now, that we would learn from them. And so we know this, that God has good purposes for his people, and he includes you and I in a covenant to be a part of what he's doing. It's important for us as followers of Christ, as people who have a heart for God, to recognize, hey, certainly we look at the promises of God. How many of you are glad for heaven? Anybody here glad for heaven? As I shared with you, we said goodbye to Deb's dad just a few weeks ago. And we were right there. And, you know, the same thing I thought about when I said goodbye to my dad some 9+ years ago. I am glad there's a heaven. I don't understand everything about it, but I know God's got good things in store, and I'm looking to that. There are benefits and privileges and blessings in our relationship with God. How many of you are glad to be forgiven? You don't have to lug around a load of guilt. You know that it's paid for. You could never pay for it yourself. There's not a thing we could do to cover the guilt of all of our sins. It can only be taken care of in one way, and that's God's prescribed way. So these are the benefits and the privileges. You know, there are also responsibilities. And it's important for those of us who know the goodness of God to learn from history and not to allow ourselves to be led astray, and not to just drift away from God, but to pay attention to him, to his purposes, not to allow ourselves to fall into a kind of behavior that maybe the rest of the world they believe in, but for God's people to seek to be people of justice and consideration for those that are the oppressed and the pushed down in this world. That's the heart of God. I had a conversation just a few weeks ago and with a person who knows their Bible well, and we both agreed, you read this Bible and you know that God is for the vulnerable. God is for those who have no defense, the widow, the orphan, the stranger, the foreigner in the land. And so, people of God, we're reminded by these things, do not allow ourselves to drift away from God and end up worshiping other things in the place of God, not to allow ourselves to fall into a kind of behavior where we just push people aside and we pursue only our own agendas, but to consider, what does God have to say about this? And then this third thing of not allowing our worship of God to just become tradition, going through the motions, and doing all kinds of things, but lose the very heart of it. That's the message from those prophets to God's people, and it's just as applicable to us today. Would you agree with that? Let's stand. We're going to close in prayer and have a time of invitation. We'll pray, and then we'll have an invitation song. If there's something that you want to pray about today, we will be glad to pray with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for these things being written down and committed to history so that we could know and we could benefit from it. Lord, I pray, Father, for any child of yours today who may be drifting. Lord, help us to be straightened up by what we see happening to those who've gone before us. And Lord, speak to hearts. Help us to realize you love us. You intend only what's good for us and what's best for us. And Lord, help us to show up and to do our part as well. We pray this in Jesus' name.